This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jeff Werner is the land use field officer in the Charlottesville office of the Piedmont Environmental Council, online at pecva.org. Jeff, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being here. I know this is on short notice, and we did have Rick Britton scheduled for this afternoon, but he has graciously agreed to come on Tuesday instead, so we will be talking local history on Tuesday. I thought it was important to have Jeff in, folks, to discuss the latest chapter in growth and development in our community, because there were some really important decisions made this week by the county, and not only decisions, but maybe lack of decisions, I guess. I don't know how really else to put it. And Jeff, you have been, not only were you at these meetings this week, but you've also been involved in some of this decision-making for years. Can you give us your background really quick? Because I know you've been a builder, and now you work with PEC. Give folks a background of some of the work that you've done here, and also some of the work that you've done on some of the boards and groups.
Well, just, you know, I was a builder and general contractor in Northern Virginia for about a decade, and then my wife and I decided to do something different, and I got into graduate school here at University of Virginia, got a planning degree at the architecture school, and my interest had actually always been in historic preservation. That's where my construction expertise was. But I ended up coming out of there and got a job working with PEC and working on in the Almore office on land use issues, and primarily there are two things that PEC does. One is the conservation easement side of things, which I joke the staff at PEC. The conservation staff, they get invited to the cocktail parties and hunt cup things, and I'm the one that gets lambasted and yelled at by developers and builders. So, but it's I really enjoy my job. I think we're making a difference. It's I try to bring all of my background into this, really trying. I think one of the things that's exciting is that we're working on land use ideas that are really starting to change how we create our communities, how we build, how we transport ourselves from one place to the other. And this is a wonderful community to be doing that in, because people are very involved and very interested. And if it can be done anywhere, I'd like to think it would be this community.
Yeah. It makes me think there was a time when developers wanted to do something, they would just go to their buddies in the local government and they would greenlight everything and sure, go ahead. And there virtually was no input from the community, because the government sort of saw, well, these aren't community decisions. This is a business decision between the local government trying to create more tax revenue and the local builders and the growth lobby. And this is how it's been done for a long, long time. And I guess what we're seeing now is a little tension between a community who would like to do things differently, who sort of this community is full of very, very intelligent people, especially when it comes to these type of issues.
That's correct.
And they want to be involved. They would like to see Central Virginia sort of set a different example for the nation of how we might grow as a community, and not just as the growth lobby sitting down with the local government.
And Sally Thomas also often says, you know, what this community gets for free in community participation, other localities would pay millions of dollars for in consultation. But it's you know, one of the things that we are in this sort of transition, although I think so much has been approved in the last few years in Almore County, I'm not really sure there's much left, at least for the next several years.
Yeah, you were telling me on the phone earlier today, there are already how many thousands of homes in the pipeline or residential units?
Yeah, since 2000, and I started basically with the census numbers from 2000 and using what's going on in the city and what's going on in the county. The current residential unit, the pipelines for residential units, new units that are either in the city of Charlottesville or in the county's growth area, the total pipeline that is either been approved or under review by city and county is 18,500 homes. Now, and of those, 11,500 have already been approved. And using the various projections from, for instance, what we use for the water supply, the Virginia Plan Commission, there's lots of population projections out there. If there were no further development in the rural area, those 11,000 homes represent enough for the next 15 to 20 years. And if we continue the average in the rural area, as I project we will, that's enough homes for the next 30 years almost. So, and those 18,000 homes represent enough for probably the next 30 or 40 years. So,
Already approved.
Well,
or under review.
Under review. There's about 5,000 left. And I suspect, I think, as most people do, Biscuit Run will be approved. And really, that'll put it over the top. So I was joking with a friend of mine in the development community the other evening that if anybody comes in with a major rezoning in the next 5 years, they really need their head examined. So,
yeah.
I mean, it really is, there's a number of things going on. But, you know, some of the changes, and I think some of the frustration, and I've often said this on committees, is that, you know, developers will build. When I used to go get building permits and getting building permit in Fairfax County or City of Alexandria or City of Washington, I would stack that up against Alamore County any day and used to say, what do I need to say to get my permit? Yes. And but I think what people want to see, the development community wants to see, is a predictable process. If it's a process that they can, that's accessible to them, that has a fairly predictable outcome, that's what they're looking for.
And what's encouraging is the everybody on, I would like to think that everybody on every side of this issue, and there's not just two sides,
right.
It's a multi-faceted issue here. I think everybody involved in the growth and development discussion for Central Virginia would love to see a very predictable process that just doesn't always change on the fly.
Yeah, and
developers as well.
Right, but it's David Bowerman said something. I think it was at the last meeting, and he reminded everyone, and I probably have it not written down correctly, but I believe he said this is an inherently and necessarily messy process. And what he was talking about is that, you know, this is a community, and that. You have developer interests, you have, you know, laws and regulations and plans, but you also have the underlying fact that what government makes its decisions on is the health, safety, and welfare of the community as a whole. And so that democratic process, it's messy, I've most disappointed when I see people complain. But I haven't seen them at a public hearing. Or often they'll call me and say, Jeff, you need to do something about it. PEC needs to do something about it. And I say, well, here's where in the meeting. Oh, I can't go to the meeting. And so, you reap what you sow. And I think, you know, folks, this every single one of these supervisors, every single one of these planning commissioners are accessible to the public. I mean, some of them I can call and they pick up the phone and talk to me immediately. So we have... a government that people may be a little frustrated with, but I can tell you, if you've got a concern, people need to start coming to these meetings and speaking up, because these people do listen.
Jeff Werner is with the Piedmont Environmental Council, online at pecva.org. And we're going to talk about a meeting that was held on Wednesday night, August 1st, involving a rezoning request by developer Wendell Wood. I believe it was 15 acres of land. Before we go to a break here at the bottom of the hour, what I would like to do is just play sort of an overview of this meeting and sort of present, sort of lay out what happened and what was the meeting about. And this comes to us compliments of Charlottesville Tomorrow, Brian Wheeler, of course, the executive director, who's a frequent guest on this program. And you can get all the details on this meeting and exactly what happened at seavilletomorrow.org. Click on the web log, and you can get the full audio podcast of this meeting from the beginning until the end, including all the votes, there right on the website. So real quickly for an overview, and then we'll go to a break and we'll come back and we'll flesh this whole thing out and talk about it with Jeff. Here's an overview from Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow.
On August 1st, 2007, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors unanimously approved a rezoning for developer Wendell Wood near the National Ground Intelligence Center, a site county staff have begun calling the Ravana Station Military Base. Wood's rezoning request for 15 acres in the Piney Mountain designated growth area was first heard by the County Planning Commission on July 10th. Wood asked the county to rezone the land so he could construct two four-story office buildings and a three-story, 120-unit residential building, both to facilitate the expansion of the National Ground Intelligence Center. There were a number of interesting points in the board's discussion, including the process taken to review and amend the proffers. After discussing the proffers with Wood in the public meeting, the board postponed further discussion ask Wood to leave the room and work with county staff and attorneys to revise the proffers. About an hour later, staff returned with Wood and two versions of the revised proffers, which were handed to the Board of Supervisors. After a brief public hearing and further discussion, the board approved the rezoning and associated special use permits by a unanimous vote.
More on that when we get back. This is Charlottesville right now. My guest in studio is Jeff Werner. He's the land use field officer with the Charlottesville office of the Piedmont Environmental Council, online at pecva.org. And Jeff, you were at the meeting Wednesday night. The sort of set the scene for us. This is the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. They're having a meeting. One of the big topics, if not the big topic of the evening, is a request by developer Wendell Wood. Only the latest in how many thousands of requests he has come to the board with. The guy's been working here in our community for quite a long time. And, you know, Wendell Wood was on this program one time, and he said that, he said exactly, I wish I had the quote to play it, but he said, "I think I deserve special treatment." And he sort of chuckled and said, "I do get special treatment. I get negative special treatment." But in this case, at least on Wednesday night, he got far from negative special treatment. He did get genuine special treatment. His request was expedited. It was accelerated. Yep. The process, the government process that is in place for situations like this was, you could argue, I guess, that it was abandoned and that it was changed on the fly to meet his needs.
Yeah, and you know, you and I have been talking about this for some time, and I laugh. You've got a guy coming up here later with space noises. Maybe I should take...
It's an eclectic program.
That's right. I should have a tape of, you know, the noises my stomach makes sometimes in these meetings. But I think that, you know, first off, you know, you talk to any developer around here, all you hear is, you know, "Oh, woe is me. The county's just got it in for me. I never get anything." You know, yet somehow, you know, we continue to be this wonderful place that people want to come and live in. As we mentioned a while ago, the county certainly seems to have no trouble approving things. So I don't know. I don't quite buy into that. And then given all the approvals that we've had in the last couple of years, it's amazing that in 2006 was the lowest number of building permits since 1988. So,
and the significance of that is the fact that we're seeing runaway approvals for projects,
right?
But they're not being built.
Right.
You get an approval from the government to build it, then you have to go get a building permit to erect it.
Right.
We're seeing whole bunches of approvals and not many building permits.
And there's always, it's like I think Ulysses Grant said once, you know, three men watch a fist fight and you get three separate accounts. So it's probably in 20 minutes, I don't know, you and I might need a weekend to sort of sift through and distill out the facts within such a complex issue. But I think what we're dealing with at the Ground Intelligence Center we're breaking it down earlier, saying you've got the process of this particular proposal, the proffer policy of the county. You can't escape the fact that there are personalities involved. I mean, these are humans, and they interact, and pro and con. And I think there was also the baggage of what has come with the process, this Injik location, the swap with Ms. Wheeler's land, Mr. Wood's situation with getting that land deal to the government, and now this one, which is not, and I think that's what a lot of people did not understand. In fact, a couple of weeks ago I asked a member of the Planning Commission, "Well, why is Mr. Wood, why is this his proposal for a project called Injik Expansion? The landowner is supposed to be, they represent any rezoning request." We found out that it was called Injik Expansion, but it's not, this was basically a private effort on Mr. Wood's part to create some office space and some residential, which we understand the Ground Intelligence Center has expressed interest in needing in the area. As I understand, they've not said to him they want this or that they're going to use this, but this is, I think, part of where the development community is responding to anticipated needs of the Injik expansion.
Right. They're going to expand. They're going to build more
stuff up there. That's
going
to happen.
We're going to bring a lot more, what is it, about 1,000 new jobs, or going to bring jobs into the community,
right?
Not for people here, but the people are going to come with right. their jobs.
Right. And I'll tell you, that's another piece of the puzzle that's all over the place. When are they coming? How many are coming? I've heard that, and this is no secret, but that they, the government was sort of straw polling some of the people up there that it was going to relocate down here. And remember, some of these are military staff who get sent where they're told, and others are civilian consultants and or civilian employees and can say, hey, I quit, I'm not going to move. And they're not getting the response, the enthusiasm for people to relocate here like they thought. So I think the feds have some things to figure out on their own. But something that I want to just make clear about Injik coming to this community, the Basin Relocation Act was something that Congress negotiated, and it went through, you know, what state was going to get what.
That's the BRAC process, base realignment right. and closing process.
Right. And then, boom, it was signed into law. And what I've been told some time ago was that, you know, nobody, because we had heard if this deal doesn't go through, Albemarle County is going to lose this. In fact, it was reportedly stated by members of Virgil Gouge's staff and John Warner's staff to, as I understand, some county officials that if you don't work this out, the state of West Virginia and the state of Texas are lobbying to get this entire facility relocated there, which in light of, I think there was an article in the Washington Post last week which confirmed this, just moving some of the facility that was destined for Fort Belvoir back up the road from Fairfax County into Alexandria or Arlington, you know, which just took an astronomical amount of work because the Army doesn't want to put some of these bases back on the table because then it becomes a free-for-all again.
Well, then they have to open back up the whole BRAC
right.
process.
So
you can't just take Injik to
right.
Texas. It wouldn't happen.
And that's
but the point is that Wendell Wood and the county, some folks with the county, truly believed that.
That's
for
right.
whatever reason.
For
they
whatever
truly
reason.
Believed that was going to happen, and that motivated their decision to expedite all of the stuff
all
we're talking
this.
About.
And so there's this sense of urgency, and I think that's some of what I raised in my comments to the county on Wednesday was because, and now going back to this particular rezoning, the county has a stated policy relative to proffers, and it may seem insignificant to some. It may seem, hey, they were going to vote for it anyway. But a policy is like a bucket. You can't drill holes in that bucket and expect it to hold water at a later date. So you either honor the policy or you don't. You don't say, yeah, but this and yeah, but that. You got to treat all things equally. And so.
And Wednesday night, when you were there at the meeting, you did not see them honoring their own policy.
I just sensed once again this sort of hyper enthusiasm for, my God, this has Injik in the title. You know, and I'm sure.
Just to prove it.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, my again, I was one of those people watching a fist fight, and my observations may be different from what others saw.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And I welcome, you know, other opinions. But it was not the merits of Mr. Wood's proposal at all. That, you know, in fact, you say office space adjacent to an existing facility, which is, you know, compatible, dwelling places adjacent to an employment center.
Makes sense,
yeah. There are no arguments there. But when he came and the county attorney said, I'm sorry, but I have not had time to thoroughly review this, when the county staff said, it appears that everything's in there, but we haven't had time to thoroughly review it.
Because he came that morning with his proffers.
Yes.
Even though the proffer policy
right.
says they have to be there nine
right.
days ahead of time, he handed them in that very morning.
Right. And this is not something that's, you know, and I know the development community would say, look, we want to be able to come right into the meeting and negotiate. And I guess I can understand that point of view. But remember, these elected officials act on behalf of the community, the health, safety, and welfare of the community, and even there are sections of the code which stipulate this decision should be made on the basis of the community as a whole and not the interests of individual developers. There are sections of Albemarle County Code that state that. So I don't believe the outcome would have been any different if the county had said, you know, we got a policy, we've been out in the hall, we've looked at this, we're going to vote for this. However, this is not going to become final until we, you know, and as I suggest to them, put the advertisement in the paper, come back for a special vote one evening.
Doesn't their proffer policy that they just adopted say that if something about if the proffers happen to change in the process, they have to have a public hearing? And yet at this particular meeting, they sort of found a way to work around having a public hearing.
Well, and you know, in looking back on it, you know, that if it would not have been possible legally, I have no doubt that Mr. Davis would have, you know, Larry Davis, the county attorney, would have stopped things immediately. So it's, as I explained to a supervisor today when I talked to them, it really is about the appearance of their actions. And if they want to, you know, the board of supervisor wants to get into the legal minutia of why they did this, I think that there's so much loaded onto this train associated with NJIC that people just don't want to hear these. Well, you've got to understand.
It depends on what the word is.
That's correct.
We've gotten to that point now where that's what we're hearing.
Absolutely.
From some of the boards of supervisors.
So, you know, maybe it would not have been necessary under the letter of the law, but I think it would have been politically prudent for Albemarle County to say, look, this is where the situation is. Now, you know, someone could say, well, in those 9 days, maybe this deal would have unraveled. Well, you know what? So be it. You go back to Mr. Bowerman's comment that it's an inherently and necessarily messy process. And but I think that that's where my concern was. And this concern about proffers goes back some time, I think, when the Hollymead Town Center was approved. And I actually was away. I was not there for that public hearing, but there were some proffers changed, and as I recall from the comments, staff had said, you know, we haven't had time to look at all these, and yet it was still approved. So there's this is not a new issue relative to the county sort of taking the discussion across the hall while continuing their meeting,
yeah.
And then coming back in the room. And as I said, I'm sure that it could be successfully argued to me that the county did the right thing, but I think in light of the situation and in light of this policy, I think the county has to stand firm in its promise to the community.
Yeah.
Because things right now are precarious. There is a tremendous amount of frustration in the community with what is going on. I sense it in county staff.
And when you say what's going on, you mean these processes that we have in place around growth and development.
The best example I have is that, you know, I was, you know, the dates run together in my head. I'd have to go pull them out. I'm always surprised when I pull out something and I go, my God, that was 1995, you know. Holy, have I been on this that long? But the rural area section of the comprehensive plan is a wonderful example. There was an ad hoc committee put together, a whole range of interests, Farm Bureau and people. We worked on ideas. We came up with a sort of a framework that then staff put together a plan on. Planning Commission worked through it. Board of Supervisors worked through it. Adopted it unanimously, I believe, in the spring of 2005. And we've yet to implement anything. And so I know that, you know, staff goes, well, what was all that work for? The Mountain Protection Ordinance. I'm hoping we see something come out of that. But so then you see the Board of Supervisors get recommendations from the Planning Commission. And I'm beyond, you know, this NJIC situation. I'm just in general, you'll see recommendations from the Planning Commission. But that the board says, well, I'm going to vote for this anyway. Or recommendations for staff, this current Board of Supervisors, I'm going to vote for it anyway. So there's a
they're sort of hard pressed to find a development they don't like,
in some ways. And I just, you know, I'd love to hear that I'm wrong, but I just sense a little bit of sort of the air is going out of the tire. And
with the folks on the planning staff and the Planning Commission who feel like, well, why am I here?
Yeah.
If we're just going to approve everything,
right,
that comes to the,
right,
table.
You know, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but, you know, one of my favorite movies is Remember the Titans, and there's a great scene in there where the, you know, one of the black athletes confronts one of the white athletes, and he says, attitude reflects leadership. And you know, I, as a lacrosse coach, I understand all that stuff, but I think that there's a I think the opportunity is there right now, and I think that the six members on this Board of Supervisors, they're all sharp people. I there's an opportunity for some leadership. There's an opportunity for sort of a real good hard assessment of where we're going. The situation, let's go back to the situation with Ms. Wheeler and Mr. Wood on this growth area swap. Instead of trying to explain and explain and explain, you know, it can't be like we had in Crozet where we just, everybody kept trying to explain it, that we didn't even know what explanation was explaining what. I mean, maybe the board should say, stop, you know, hold on a minute. Let's go back and look at this. And instead of And I think that that would, I think sometimes honesty, not that people have been dishonest, but sometimes, you know, just that brutal honest, here's how I'm feeling about this.
Well, that's certainly what the community would appreciate.
Yeah.
I think it'd be refreshing. As citizens, as voters, you've got to appreciate the fact when you have elected people who are going to be straight with you and perhaps say, I'm not saying this is particular to this case, but perhaps say, yeah, we screwed up on that. Right. And this is what we're doing to fix it.
Yeah, boo. I mean, every day in my life, I do things that I don't know. I mean, you're like my age, and, you know, I have kids, and they come and ask me questions, and I say, I have no idea what to answer. And I think back and go, that means my parents didn't have a clue either. And so it's okay. Years ago, an architect friend of mine said to me, he goes, Jeff, it's okay to tell someone I don't know the answer to that question. And so I think that there's, I think staff's frustrated. I think planning commission's frustrated. I think the Board of Supervisors is looking to staff. Staff's looking to the Board of Supervisors. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they need to go do a ropes course or, you know, climb a rock in Montana together. But
My guess is Jeff Werner. He's the Land Use Field Officer in the Charlottesville office of the Piedmont Environmental Council, online at pecva.org. And I just want to underscore something you said and extend on that if I can. I don't sit here and think, oh, that's a building we shouldn't have, or that's a bridge we shouldn't have, or that's a neighborhood we shouldn't have.
Right.
I don't think like that. I look at the process that the local governments are going through to make the decisions about these things. And that's what bothers me. And I am not speaking for anybody but myself here. I'm not speaking for Sorensen or UVA or Allison, my wife, or my kids. I'm speaking for me. What bothers me so much as a citizen here in this community is to see a local government, the very home of Thomas Jefferson and James Monroe and James Madison. We should be setting the example for the nation about how a local government is to function, and we're not doing it. We're not setting that high standard of public involvement, of citizen input, of open government. In some cases, folks, we're doing just the opposite.
We've got a lot of involvement, and I think we've got a lot of great ideas. I mean, the Alamore County Comprehensive Plan is super, but let's start putting it into motion. And I also think, you know, you've got the city, the university, you've got Alamore County, and you've got Greene County, and everyone's sort of competing. The relationship between the city and county reminds me of my older brother and I when we were kids. And my mom would put us out in the backyard and say, solve it, and whichever one comes in, you get lunch. And I think that, you know, one great place to start is if you know, I guess we need to bring my mom and her wooden spoon in and sit the university, the city, and the county down and say, guys, straighten this out, because we really are at odds, at least on a public level. That's what people see. They see this animosity, this distrust. I mean, the Meadow Creek Parkway and all this pushing and pulling.
And you know what? They see what we saw Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out a way how we can get around a public hearing. We don't want to have a public hearing. Take Wendell Wood into the back room, work out a deal, and come out here, and we'll vote yes on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we saw.
That's what we saw.
That's what I, as a layman in the audience,
that's what I saw. And all of the legalese that explained why they did it properly, it still does not eliminate what I observed and what I've heard people responding to. And I think they've got to realize that.
Jeff Werner with the Piedmont Environmental Council, thank you very much.
Thank you
for coming in. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Online, more information at pecva.org. And you can read the full story of what happened Wednesday night on the Charlottesville Tomorrow web blog, seavilletomorrow.org.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.